bottlers, maybe, when it all started. I think Misha, one of us in the group, was the first one to learn to juggle. And so, of course, then we all had to learn to juggle.
Getting to know the entertainment at this year's Southeast Alaska State Fair. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. Eddie Skookum, chief of Little Sam and Carmack's First Nation, is out of jail on bail. CBC News reported that Skookum, who's been chief of the Yukon First Nation for 13 years, was arrested in Haines on July 4th and charged with felony assault and drunk driving. The charges were laid after a 21-year-old woman was found beaten and bloody in the parking lot of a local motel. Bail was initially set at $50,000 but was lowered to $20,000 following arguments by Skookum's lawyer, David Mallett. Mallett told the CBC that he had just one comment, which is that, quote, "Mr. Skookum is a very fine man, and I'm sure he'll be vindicated," end quote. U.S. authorities had earlier expressed concern that Skookum would not return to Alaska if he were released. The prosecutor had argued that Skookum's criminal record, which includes convictions for assault and failing to appear in court, made him a flight risk. Skookum is due back in court in Juneau on August 10th. Comments on the news ranged from supportive, saying, quote, "Thank goodness he's out. This man has done so much for First Nations people everywhere. I'm praying they'll realize that these charges are false when it goes to trial," end quote, to highly critical, like one posted comment that said, quote, "What kind of a community elects a chief with a past criminal record? You get the leadership you deserve," end quote.
U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals heard oral arguments Monday on the Juneau Access Project. The state is appealing a 2009 federal district court decision ordering the Department of Transportation to consider improved state ferry service in its environmental impact statement for a road out of Juneau. The state's preferred route for the 50-mile highway starts at Echo Cove. It ends at the Katsahine River, where motorists would have to board a ferry to Haines or Skagway. U.S. District Court Judge John Sedgwick in February sided with litigants, saying EIS failed to comply with the National Environmental Policy Act by not taking into account a better ferry schedule that did not require building new ferries, terminals, or roads. Plaintiffs in the case include the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, Skagway Marine Access Commission, Lynn Canal Conservation, and Natural Resources Defense Council, among others. A three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court heard the state's appeal in Anchorage. Earth Justice attorney Kate Glover argued the case for the environmental groups.
So the issue here is whether or not the agencies needed to consider improving ferry service with existing boats and ferry terminals, or whether their environmental impact statement was sufficient with the alternatives that it did consider.
The state argued that the EIS did examine an adequate range of alternatives, including marine. But project manager Ruben Yost says an Alaskan Marine Highway System schedule is not static and cannot be guaranteed.
The Marine Highways basically run a different system every year. The idea was that starting back in 1994, people were concerned that we not define the service in Lynn Canal as what it was in a particular year and say it's going to be like that no matter what in the future. So we tried to have a no-action alternative that was a projection of what AMHS could do in Lynn Canal based on the vessels it would have available and the operational techniques that had been developed up to that point in time.
Only the state of Alaska is appealing the lower court's decision. The Federal Highways Administration declined to join. That decision has prevented the Transportation Department from working on the Juneau Access Road, also known as the Lynn Canal Highway. But a 3-mile stretch to the Cascade Point was recently completed. The lower court last year agreed with the state road extension was a separate project and necessary to provide access to private Gold Belt Native Corporation lands. Construction of the proposed highway to the Katsahine is estimated at $470 million. Project manager Yoth says that includes two shuttle ferries and a ferry terminal. He says costs have not been updated since last year. DOT has not updated the cost of the operation and maintenance for the highway and shuttle ferry system since 2006. At that time, those costs were estimated at $9 million a year. Earth Justice attorney Glover says she expects the Ninth Circuit will issue a decision by the end of the year.
In Japan, the exclamation "Nanda" is a reaction to something surprising or bizarre.
You'll hear it in different forms in Japanese movies all over the place. Like, you see some crazy, you say "Nanda."
Tomoki Sage is one of the self-titled acrobaticalists in the performance group Nanda, booked as just one of the entertainers for this weekend's Southeast Alaska State Fair in Haines. Tomoki, alongside childhood buddies Chen Polina, Kyota Sage, and Misha Fraden, are Nanda. Danny Mulholland manages the group. But don't ask what exactly they do. Just watch it on their website, nandatown.com, or go to the Southeast Alaska State Fair.
We call it Kung Fu, which is basically like just no particular type of martial arts, though there is some history with Aikido and some other martial arts, but it's kind of just whatever, like stage combat, just goofy, slapstick, fighting kind of stuff. There's also a lot of slow motion, so it'll be like a really highly violent fight sequence that leads into a slow motion fighting bit, and then back into like a really high energy dance sequence. Something that's just like the transitions from one act to the next are very quick in pace. It's a high energy, nonstop kind of a performance.
Even the group themselves had to invent their own word to describe what they do on stage.
If you search acrobaticalists or acrobaticalism, we are the only thing that pops up. We didn't want to be called jugglers or acrobats, or we didn't want to be in any sort of category, I guess. It was a lot because starting out, we got tagged with the juggler sort of name a lot. But we didn't want to just be stuck with juggling or any one thing. So somebody was like, let's be acrobaticalists. Pretty much, we just decided to make up a word for it.
The guys of Nanda grew up in Port Townsend, Washington, but moved together to Portland, Oregon as their group grew more popular.
Basically, everyone grew up together in Port Townsend, and it kind of evolved out of years of just goofing off and kind of making up little fairy tale stories and doing tricks and stuff on the trampoline and traveling to festivals growing up and seeing other groups of performers making it work as a viable way to make a living, and just kind of not having, with lack of other ideas, putting together a performance that would do well.
They've kind of always been Nanda, said Tomoki.
Actually, we were, I can't even remember, we were toddlers maybe when it all started. I think Misha, one of us in the group, was the first one to learn to juggle. And so, of course, then we all had to learn to juggle. And then we were all into flipping and doing that. As soon as somebody does a back handspring, everybody's got to learn to do that. And we just sort of like grew up around stuff like that. And then the actual group formed as Nanda 6 years ago, but we had been doing little performances together previous to that and just having fun.
And they have more and more fans every year. Amongst the dedicated followers of the five neighborhood boys are their moms. So what do moms think about their kids making a living doing comical martial arts stunts on faraway stages?
I think pretty much all of them are totally stoked. Yeah, they're pretty into it. They get all excited like moms do. They go to as many as they can, and then different moms are different, but usually you get the, like, those are my kids, and, like, they get really excited.
Nanda's performed for bigs like Microsoft Corporation, Organic Valley, and the Seattle Space Needle's New Year's Eve party, but they do a lot of showing up at benefits and small-town festivals. Right now, they're at the Kickapoo Country Fair in Wisconsin.
We do perform a lot of small-town festivals. I wouldn't say that it's something we specifically seek out necessarily, though we are really often really well received, and we also really enjoy just hooking up with local people and hanging out and doing the same thing we do in our hometown with other people in other places, which is just hang out and have a good time, and we do well in small towns.
They said yes to Haines because of that. They said they want to hang out and enjoy the place. That and one other thing.
We made sure we'd get at least some fish written into the contract so we could take some fish home with us. And we're always interested in trying, you know, local flavors like moose and whatever it is you guys, food-wise. We're big food people, and we all love to cook. and we all appreciate food a lot, so food is big, like, and we know you guys have a lot of good food up there, so definitely interested in trying this.
The Seattle Times called Nanda a knockout, pulling off moves with airborne objects that are half dance, half wizardry. They're funny, smooth, and daredevilishly inventive, they said. Nanda is one of the entertainment acts performing at the Southeast Alaska State Fair, starting in Haines this week. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News.